So I'm going to apologize right up front for going through the meeting. I don't know what it is. I have no idea. If you have something and you don't mind getting up, sure. Anyway, this is our 19th study in the book of Jeremiah. Last week we did really good. We did chapters 24, 5, and 6. Chapter 24... Jeremiah had the vision of the baskets of figs. He had one that was good and one that was bad. The good ones were really good, and the bad ones were so bad they couldn't be eaten. So what were the good figs?
The ones who went to Babylon.
So the good figs, get this, the good figs are the ones that are going into captivity. And by the way, just so you think about this, you know how they went into captivity? They were chained up and they were naked. Because you know what? Judgment begins at the house of God. And when you're bad, even if he saves you, he spanks you. Those were the good figs. And the bad figs, which ones were the bad figs? They were the ones that stayed in Jerusalem and seemingly had the palace and the power and all that stuff. Those were supposedly the good figs. The bad figs. Thank you. Thank you, Miss Dara. Now I won't be coughing. I'll just be talking like I have a cough drop in my mouth. Oh, these are disgusting. Thank you so much. I will remember that. My daughter just gave me a disgusting cough drop. She's trying to get even from when I spanked her when she was little. Never forgiven me. So the good figs, the ones that God is protecting, he still disciplined them. And they went off weeping from Jerusalem, chained up, butt naked, into captivity. Sometimes when God protects you, it doesn't look like he's protecting you. I think I told this story about the farmer that had a horse and it ran away. And his neighbor said, "Oh, that's a bad thing." And the farmer said, "Yeah, we'll see." And pretty soon the horse came back with a bunch of wild horses. So now he's got a whole herd of horses And the neighbor said, "Oh, that's a good thing." And the farmer said, "Oh, we'll see." And then the farmer's son tried to break one of the horses, and he fell off and broke his arm. And the neighbor said, "Oh, that's a bad thing." And the farmer said, "We'll see." And then the raiding marauders came in to take people off to be in their army, but they didn't take his son because he had a broken arm. So what's a good thing and what's a bad thing?
Yes.
We'll see, because we don't have enough information. So here these people are being carried off into captivity, and they think it's a terrible thing. But the word of the Lord came to me saying, this is verse 4 of 24, "Like these good figs, so I will regard the exiles of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place to the land of the Chaldeans, as good. I will set my eyes on them as good. I will bring them back to this land, and I will build them up and not pull them down. I will plant them and not uproot them. Then I will give them a heart to know me, for I am the Lord. And they will be my people, and I will be their God, for they will return to me with their whole heart." And so the bad figs got to stay in Jerusalem. They weren't carried off. They hunkered down in there, and they fought King Nebuchadnezzar, and the Lord says, "So now as for the bad figs, which cannot be eaten, they're so bad. Surely they are, thus says the Lord, so I will give up Zedekiah, the king of Judah, his princes and the remnant of Jerusalem who remain in the land, as well as those dwelling in the land of Egypt. I will even give them as a horror and an evil thing among all the kingdoms of the earth, as a disgrace and a proverb, a taunt and a curse, in all places where I will drive them. I will also send a sword, famine, and pestilence among them until they be consumed from off the land that I will give to them and to their fathers." I gave to them and to their fathers. And that was chapter 24. In chapter 25, Jeremiah kind of recounts, we'll read a little of it, the word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah. Was Josiah a good king or a bad king?
Yeah.
Was Jehoiakim a good king or a bad king?
Yeah.
Bad. Okay? So 4 years into his reign, which was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Jeremiah the prophet spoke it to all the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, from the 13th year of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah, until this day, these 23 years, the word of the Lord has come to me. So I have spoken to you, speaking early and often, but you have not listened. Moreover, the Lord has sent to you all his servants, the prophets, and sending them early and often, but you have not listened or inclined your ear to hear, saying, turn now everyone from his evil way and from the evil deeds, and dwell in the land that the Lord has given to you and to your fathers forever and ever. Don't go after other gods to serve them, to worship them, and so do not provoke me with the work of your hands, so I would do you no harm. So I pointed out that Jeremiah started prophesying this hard word even before the people were messed up. During the time when Josiah was bringing great revival, Jeremiah was already prophesying about the problems that were to come. Now, we in the men's meeting on Monday nights are studying Deuteronomy. And last night, you know, Moses is giving his final hurrah. He's going away. And the Song of Moses. You got to go read the Song of Moses. It starts out with, so listen, you know, I've been talking to you people for all these years, and you're going to go into the land to possess it. And when you go in, you're going to prostitute yourself, and you're going to mess up, and you're going to do all this stuff. And God's going to do this. So the prophets that God was sending to these people early and often started before they even came into the land. Even as God was bringing them into their possession, he was warning them. And Moses taught the people this song. We were trying to figure out what the melody would be. Oh, you're going to screw up really bad. I mean, you know, and Richard said, I wonder if they actually even know what the melody is. And it's just amazing how God foretold and prophesied to them, if you don't do this, this is going to happen. And by the way, it's going to happen because you're not going to do this. Here's the warning I'm telling you. Don't behave like this. And yet they do. Verse 7 to 25. Yet you have not listened to me, declares the Lord, so you're provoking me with the work of your hand to your own hurt. Jumping down to verse 11. So this whole land will be desolate, ruined, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon for 70 years. Then it will come to pass, when 70 years are completed, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, declares the Lord, the land of the Chaldeans, for their iniquity. And I will make it ruins forever. I will bring on that land all my words which I pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah has prophesied against all the nations. For many nations and great kings will make slaves of them also, so I will repay them according to their deeds and according to the work of their own hand. And then the Lord told him to take a cup and go to the various and sundry nations and prophesy. And there was a whole list of nations and mixed peoples in the area that was bad things were going to happen to them and that they would be forced to drink it even if they did not want to. And we noted that it appeared to be a future prophecy, because in verse 33 of chapter 25, it says, those slain by the Lord on that day will be from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth. They will not be lamented, gathered, or buried. They will be dung on the surface of the ground, which kind of looks like a picture of Armageddon. Okay? And then in chapter 26, the Lord sends Jeremiah to bring a hard word to Jehoiakim. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came to from Adonai, from the Lord, saying, Thus says the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak to all the cities of Judah that come to worship in the Lord's house. All the words that I command you to speak, do not omit a word. Perhaps they will listen and turn away from this his evil, so I may relent on of the calamity that I'm planning to do to them because of the evil of their deeds. So once again, the Lord's bringing a word. Why is he bringing a word? He wants to get them to repent. God's heart is always the same in these matters, is to get people to turn away from their sin, to repent, and his heart, I'm telling you, if you don't do this, I'm going to do that. All right, they're not doing it. Listen, I'm going to give you another chance. I'm going to give you another chance. How long-suffering is God? Who has the patience of the Lord? Nobody. And so many people think that God is slack or that he's just got empty words, but when he finally brings the judgment, he brings the judgment. And at the point, you know, where the good figs, the bad figs, well, the good figs are already carried off into captivity. And even though they're the good figs, they're going butt naked, chained up, with no possessions, into a land that they don't know. Those are the good figs. God's bringing his judgment. So anyway, he brings this word, and for some reason, the king takes umbrage with it. He did not like it. And so they haul him in front of the king, and people are like, we need to kill this guy. And he speaks up and basically says, well, look, you can do what you want, but I'm speaking to you in the name of the Lord. Just know for sure that if you do, you're going to have innocent blood on your hands because the Lord sent me to give you this word. And then there was two opposing groups, one who came to his defense and said, hey, you know, and you know, Micah brought a word to King Hezekiah. He didn't kill him. He repented. And then there's another fellow that Jehoiakim actually did kill. And nevertheless, the Lord delivered him out of their hands. Okay? You with me? Chapter 27. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Thus says the Lord to me, Make straps and yoke bars and put them on your neck. Send them to the king of Edom and to the king of Moab, to the king of Ammon's children, to the king of Tyre and to the king of Zion, by the hand of messengers that come to Jerusalem to King Zedekiah of Judah. Who's King Zedekiah? He's the final king. He's the guy that Nebuchadnezzar installed and changed his name to Zedekiah. He's like, we saw it in the movie, remember? He was like the uncle or something. Okay? Josiah, Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim was a bad guy and ultimately gets killed in battle. Then Jeconiah, his son, who's like a little kid, surrenders to King Nebuchadnezzar and is carried off. And this other guy, Zedekiah, is installed as a puppet king. Okay? So, send by the hand of messengers that come to Jerusalem to King Zedekiah of Judah. Charge them to their master, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Thus will you say to your master, I have made the earth, mankind, and beasts which are on the face of the earth, by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and I will give it to whom it seems right to me. So now I have given all these lands into the hand of King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, my servant. I have even given the beasts of the field to serve him. All the nations will serve him and his son and his grandson until the time of his own land comes, and then many nations and great kings will make him their slaves. So God is prophesying Nebuchadnezzar, his son, and his grandsons. Okay, then I'm cutting it off. Now it will be that the nation or the kingdom which will not serve the same king Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon and will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation I will punish with the sword with famine and with pestilence, declares the Lord, until I have destroyed it by his hand. But as for you, do not listen to your prophets, your diviners, your dreamers, your soothsayers, or your sorcerers who speak to you, saying, you will not serve the king of Babylon. For they prophesy a lie to you in order to remove you far from your land, so that I would drive you out and you would perish. Who's he prophesying this to? He's prophesying it to the king of Moab, the king of Edom, to the kings of Ammon, to the king of Tyre, to king of Zidon. And they're all sent by the hands of the messengers that come to King Zedekiah. So this word was actually for surrounding nations. So when Jeremiah first put the yoke on, okay, it was to all the surrounding nations. Verse 11. But the nation that will bring their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, that nation I will let remain in its land, and they will till it and dwell in it. It's a declaration of the Lord. Then I spoke to King Zedekiah of Judah with all these same words. So after the fact, and sometime later, he brings the same word to the king of Judah, Zedekiah, this final king, saying, put your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon, serve him and his people, and live. Okay, I just want to give you some time understanding. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word to Jeremiah. King Jehoiakim reigned like 11 or 17 years or something. So Jeremiah's first word, not like we saw in the movie, first brought this thing about put your neck in the yoke and serve the king of Babylon to all these surrounding nations, years before he ever brought that word to King Zedekiah. Okay, it's easy to miss this if you're not, you know, which king is which king and who's what, and, okay? Because we've got Jehoiakim and then his son Jechon, whatever, and then Zedekiah. Okay, you with me? No, we're not. So then I spoke, verse 12, to the king Zedekiah of Judah with all these same words, saying, put your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon, serve him and his people, and live. Why should you die, you and your people, by the sword, by famine, or by pestilence, as the Lord has spoken against the nations that will not serve the king of Babylon? Do not listen to the words of the prophets who speak to you, saying, you will not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie to you. Keep in mind, Nebuchadnezzar has already taken all the cream of the crop captive. And Zedekiah is a puppet king left to administrate on behalf of the king of Babylon. But he rebels against him. We can't pay all that. We're not sending all that gold. We're not going to do that. Who does he think he is? He's gone. I saw it on CNN. He withdrew all his army. Verse 15, for I have not sent him, them, says the Lord. Then they prophesy falsely in my name with the result that I will drive you out and that you will perish, you and the prophets that prophesy to you. Then I spoke to the priests and to all the people, saying, thus says the Lord, don't listen to the words of the prophets who prophesied to you, saying, see, the vessels of the Lord's house will now shortly be brought back from Babylon, for they prophesy a lie to you. Don't listen to them. Serve the king of Babylon and live. Now, you can understand why that certainly seems treasonous. Okay? You know, your king is here. The king of Babylon's gone. The guy he installed is your king. He's letting things go on, basically, and the prophets is saying, no, man, you need to submit to that guy. That's what the Lord is telling you. Anyway, do not listen to them. Serve the king of Babylon and listen and live. Why should this city become a ruin? But if they are prophets, and if the word of the Lord is with them, let them now make intercession to the Lord of hosts that the vessels that are left in the house of the Lord in the palace of the king of Judah and in Jerusalem, would not go to Babylon. For thus says the Lord of hosts, concerning the pillars, the sea, the bases, and the rest of the vessels that remain in this city, which King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon has not taken when he carried away captive Jeconiah, there's his name, son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, from Jerusalem to Babylon, along with all the nobles of Judah and Jerusalem. Remember who the nobles were? They were people like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, all the, you know, the good guys. Okay? Yes, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, concerning the vessels that remain in the house of the Lord, in the house of the king of Judah and at Jerusalem. They will be brought to Babylon, and there they will be until the day that I take note of them. It's a declaration of the Lord. And bring them up and restore them to this place. So you've got this happy word, don't worry. You know, the real prophet is saying, submit to this ungodly king. God's raised him up for your protection. And the false prophets are saying, no, that's not going to happen. God's going to bring peace and prosperity. Everything's okay. Okay, that's chapter 27. Let's go on to 28. Now, it was the same year we just read about. In the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fifth month, that Hananiah, son of Azur, the prophet from Gibeon, spoke to me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and all the people, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 full years I will bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and brought to Babylon. I will also bring Jeconiah, son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, back to this place with all the captives of Judah that went to Babylon. It's a declaration of the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priests and in the presence of all the people that stood in the Lord's house. So the prophet Jeremiah said, amen. What's amen mean? So be it. So be it. May the Lord do so. May the Lord fulfill your words that you have prophesied, bringing back all the vessels of the Lord's house and all those who were taken away captive from Babylon to this place. Yet, hear now the word that I am speaking in your ears and in the ears of all the people. The prophets who have been before me and before you of ancient times prophesied against many countries and against great kingdoms of war, catastrophe, and plague. The prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of the prophet has come to pass, then will the prophet be known as one that the Lord has truly sent. In other words, show me the money. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke bar from off Jeremiah's neck and broke it. Hananiah proclaimed in the presence of all the people, saying, thus says the Lord, just so I will break the yoke of King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon from off the neck of all the nations within 2 full years. So the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after that Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke bar from off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, go tell Hananiah, saying, thus says the Lord, you have broken the yoke bar of wood, but in its place I will make yoke bars of iron. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron on the neck of all these nations, so that they may serve King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. They will serve him. And I have also given him the beasts of the field. Then said the prophet Jeremiah to the prophet Hananiah, hear now, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, yet you have caused this people to trust in a lie. Therefore, thus says the Lord, I am about to send you away from off the face of the earth. This year you will die, since you have spoken apostasy against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the fourth month, 3 months.
Not quite 2 years.
No, not quite any years. Same year. So there's a lot of strange things being taught, and I don't want to make this a bash other people's doctrines. But there are so many messages out there that speak peace when maybe God's not saying that. And they feel good. But there's going to be, people are going to answer for those things. And we need to read what the scripture actually says and know with whom we deal, the God that we deal with. And that he's much more interested in getting maturity out of his people, getting them stable and walking with him than he is with them having a happy life here on earth. And we can't change the message. We have to let the message change us. So, chapter 29. Now, these are the words of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the elders remaining in exile, as well as to the priests, the prophets, and to all the people Nebuchadnezzar carried off captive from Jerusalem to Babylon after Jeconiah, the king, the queen mother, and the officers, the princes of Judah and Jerusalem, and the craftsmen and the smiths had to leave Jerusalem. The letter was sent by the hand of Elasha, son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, son of Hilkiah, whom King Nebuchadnezzar of Judah sent to Babylon. I'm sorry, King Zedekiah of Judah sent to Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all those in captivity whom I removed as captives into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon." So this is the letter that Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the people that are in Babylon, okay, to the young king, to the Daniel, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, the craftsmen, all the good people that Nebuchadnezzar took. So here's the letter, verse 5. "Build houses and live in them. Also plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and have sons and daughters. And take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters and multiply there. And do not decrease. Also seek the peace of the city where I took you as captives in exile, and pray to the Lord for it. For in its peace will you have peace. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets who are among you or your diviners beguile you, and pay no attention to the dreams which you make them dream and keep on dreaming." How do we make our false prophets dream and keep on dreaming? Because we let them know that we want teachers with itching ears. And so they hear what we want said, and they parrot it back to us. And that happens from pulpits where the preachers preach the messages that the people want to hear. But the preachers are supposed to preach the messages that God says, not what the people want to hear. So, don't listen to them. Pay no attention. "For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them." It's a declaration of the Lord. "For thus says the Lord, after 70 years for Babylon are complete, I will visit you and fulfill my good word toward you to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for peace and not calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." So that's a great scripture that people like to quote. But when was that scripture given? When the people were in captivity, when they were bummed out of their land, carried off, enslaved to a heathen king, God says to them then, "Hey, by the way, I know what plans I have for you. In fact, you're actually experiencing part of the plans that I have for you." I said to somebody at prayer this morning, I said, he was talking about going through all kinds of difficulties, and I said, God does not grow fruit in the clean. He grows it in the dirt. In the dirt and adversity is where fruit grows. It doesn't grow up on the mountaintop peaks. Oh, it's just me and you, Lord. Show me your presence. You're up there in those mountaintop peak experiences, and you're promising God all kinds of things. And you know when he requires them? In Babylon. He's like, remember what you promised me when it was just you and me, buddy? Well, here you are in the dirt. I want some fruit. Grow it in this adversity. I know the plans I have for you in my mind for you, declares the Lord. Plans of peace and not calamity, to give you a future and hope. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen. You will seek me and find me when you casually call out to me. What's that? Oh, I do believe it's for us. It's just that sometimes it's not applied correctly is all I was trying to say. I did not mean that it's not for us. No, I think it's absolutely for us. We just need to realize that when it is given is when the adversity is upon us. It's not just a casual, oh, you know, you didn't get into the college you wanted to go to. You know, I know the plans I have for you. You know, you missed your job promotion or whatever. You know, this is spoken to people that are under some serious stress. And he promises that he's going to listen when you seek me and find me. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with your whole heart. This is always the deal. God is interested in your heart. And he's willing to allow a lot of adversity to come on his people to get their heart. In fact, if you're not disciplined, the writer says, then you're an illegitimate child. Because God chastens, the writer of Hebrews, he chastens all of his children, all the ones that are legitimately his children.
It's all directed towards him.
Yes,
I mean, we're,
absolutely.
We have, you know, financial status. Or
no.
This is all for him. I mean,
well, hopefully it is, but unfortunately, we all get distracted by the shiny things along the way. And you know, we need to not have that happen. Why do I have too many devices? So we need to not get distracted by the things that come. See, I put this one on silent, and that one I didn't.
I don't think it matters what the adversity is. There's plenty of levels of adversity. In the midst of the adversity, he's saying, do not decrease.
Right.
And,
yeah.
You know, everybody has different levels. It doesn't really matter. Whatever your adversity is, you know, some people might not see it as a big deal, but it's the one that you're
Well, that's because it's their trial.
Right.
Not.
And, but the message is still the same in the midst of that. You know?
Yes, God always wants us to increase in adversity.
Right.
And, you know, you all know I like wine. And the best wine, the vine has to be stressed. Wine, you know, when you grow wine and there's no adversity, you know what you get? You get big, plump Concord grapes. You get Manischewitz. But you don't get a Cabernet. The good wine needs to be stressed. It needs some adversity. And they'll actually, you know, prune part of the fruit off, give the vine some resistance. And God's all about getting fruit out of us. That's what he wants. He wants fruit. And so, you know, why do bad things happen to good people? Because it's not about you. The master wants his wine. And the fruit for the wine comes from you. And then he squishes it. And then he pours it in the casks and he sets it aside and it thinks it's left alone and it was forgotten. And then he comes back and he pours it into another jug so that the sediment remains in the old jug. And he cleans it out and he leaves it there and it's abandoned. And then he pours it out again. He pours it out again and wine making's a big deal. And it takes time and it has to be seasoned and affected by its environment and the debris poured off from it. And a good glass of wine is the essence of the best fruit and the time and the effort of the very skilled winemaker. You'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Then I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will return you from exile and gather you all from the nations and from all the places where I have driven you. Oh, God wouldn't do that. Well, yes, he would. You know, if you belong to him, there isn't anybody else. The devil's got no power over you, only as the Lord allows. And for his purposes. And I will bring you back to the place from which I removed you as captives into exile. Verse 15. For you have said, the Lord has raised up prophets for us in Babylon. For thus says the Lord about the king who sits on the throne of David and about all the people who dwell in this city, your kinsmen who did not go with you into captivity. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I am about to send on them the sword, famine, and pestilence, and I will make them like vile figs that cannot be eaten. They are so bad. I will pursue them with the sword, famine, and pestilence, and I will make them a horror to all the kingdoms of the earth, a curse and an astonishment, a hissing and a disgrace among all the nations where I have driven them, because they have not listened to my words, declares the Lord, which I sent to them by my servant the prophets, sending them early and often, but they would not hear. It's a declaration of the Lord. But you hear the word of the Lord, all you of the exiles whom I have sent from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, concerning Ahab son of Kaliah, and concerning Zedekiah son of Maaseiah, who prophesy a lie to you in my name, I will soon deliver them into the hand of King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. He will slay them before your eyes. So a curse will be taken up by everyone in exile from Judah who are in Babylon, saying, may Adonai make you like Zedekiah and like Ahab, whom the king of Babylon roasted in the fire. Because they have been disgraceful in Israel, committing adultery with their neighbors' wives and speaking words in my name falsely, which I did not command them. But I am the one who knows, and I am witness. It's a declaration of the Lord. Now concerning Shemaiah, the Nehelamite, you will surely say, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because you have sent letters in your own name to all the people who are at Jerusalem, to Zephaniah, son of Messiah, the Kohen, and to all the Kohanim, or the priests and the priests, saying, the Lord has made you priest instead of Jehoiada, the priest, so that there should be officers in the house of the Lord for every madman prophesying, so that you will put him in the stocks and an iron collar. So now, why haven't you rebuked Jeremiah of Anathoth, who makes himself out to be a prophet to you? For he has sent word to us in Babylon, saying, the exile will be long, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their fruit. So Zephaniah the priest read this letter in the ears of the prophet Jeremiah. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, send word to all the captivity, saying, thus says the Lord concerning Shemaiah the Nehelamite, because Shemaiah has prophesied to you, though I did not send him, and he has caused you to trust in a lie. Therefore, thus says the Lord, I will indeed punish Shemaiah, the Nehelamite, whatever, I'm tired of saying his name, and his offspring, and there will be none living among this people, and he will not see the good that I will do to my people, declares the Lord, because he has spoken rebellion against the Lord. So here, the people are carried off into captivity, and the guy still living back in Jerusalem, which is under siege, sends a letter and says, look, God's got plans for you. Stop, you know, kicking against him. When you seek him with your whole face, he's going to, you know, he's going to hear your voice. And then, you know, you've got these other guys that are prophesying to the people who are in captivity, saying, no, 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 you're going to go back. Everything's going to be fine. And Jeremiah is saying, no, 70 years. God's decreed it. And this is what's going to happen to this guy, and this is what's going to happen to that guy. And I guarantee you, if you could read the Babylonian Gazette on the day after those two guys were roasted in the fire, people probably changed their tune as to who the real prophet was.
But, I mean, at that point, you know, we're not really spirit-led, so it's really just a matter of what? Flipping a coin? Who are we believing? Like, what?
Well, you know, you've got a prophet who said the king of Babylon is going to carry you off, and he did. You got a prophet that said this guy's going to die within a year, and he did. Or you listen to the other guys that are telling you a happy message. You know, the way you determine a prophet is what he says happens.
And also, I believe you have a witness in the spirit if you were serving.
Well, you might have a witness in the spirit, but they didn't have the Holy Spirit.
So that's what I was saying.
They were not under the covenant that we're under. But they also, I'll tell you something else that they had. They had the word of God. And as Jeremiah said, I've been sending you my prophets early and often, early and often. And they've all been saying the same thing. If you don't change how you live, this is what's going to happen. So that, I think, is how they would be easier to determine which prophet was the right prophet. Okay, I'm going to stop there at the end of chapter 29. Chapter 30 begins a whole nother fun section. No, it does. It really does. So, okay? Amen.